الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل لا أسألكم عليه أجرا إلا المودة في القربى وقال تعالى في آية أخرى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. Honorable ulama, respected brothers, elders, beloved youth, mothers, sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of this universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Maulana mentioned, that the topic is advertised on the poster as well. But today we will go into a more specific point of history. Why do we study history, honorable brothers and sisters? We study history primarily for three reasons. Number one, we study the past so that we get motivated, inspired for the future. Anytime we read about Mustafa alayhi salatu salam, the beloved and illustrious companions of Mustafa alayhi salatu salam, then that is an inspiration, motivation for the future. Second reason why we read the history is so that we do not commit the mistakes of the past. Once bitten, twice shy. And the third and most important reason, honorable brothers, is our history, Islamic Muslim history, is not written in black and white, is written in black and red. The black ink of the ulama and scholars and the red blood of our martyrs and shuhada. Let us start from Mustafa alayhi salatu salam's time and see who was Mustafa alayhi salatu salam. Nabi alayhi salatu salam is that Zat Mubarak, the most precious, the most beloved to all Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, is a topic on its own, so I don't want to digress too much. But every major part of Mustafa alayhi salatu salam is mentioned in the noble Quran. The non-Muslims made propaganda and said, Allah forbid, Mustafa alayhi salatu salam is suffering from epilepsy, there is something wrong. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, in the beginning of Surah 53, in the beginning of Surah An-Najm, what did Almighty Allah teach us? وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى. You look at the stars, qasam of the stars, they can all fall down. My beloved Mustafa alayhi salatu salam, Habib Allah, ma dalla sahibukum wa ma ghawa. Mustafa alayhi salatu salam, his intelligence, his intellect is perfect, the most perfect as perfect can be. Mustafa alayhi salatu salam's tongue mubarak, he is not a shair, he is not a poet, no. Who is he? وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْوٍ يُوحَىٰ. He does not speak of his desires, it is but wahi and revelation sent to Mustafa alayhi salatu salam. You come to the mubarak eyes of Mustafa alayhi salatu salam, مَا زَاغَ الْبَصَرُ وَمَا طَغَىٰ. Nabi alayhi salatu salam, mubarak eyes never deviated, never saw haram. You come to the mubarak heart of Mustafa alayhi salatu salam, مَا كَذَبَ الْفُعَادُ مَا رَعَىٰ. The mubarak heart of Nabi alayhi salatu salam never spoke lie, never spoke anything incorrect. The heart of Mustafa alayhi salatu salam is to see. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala praising Mustafa alayhi salatu salam went on and said, Wa innaka la ala khuluqin azim. O Mustafa alayhi salatu salam, your character is so sublime and so exalted. Your entire life we take an oath of it. La amruka innahum lafi sakratihim ya'mahum. For no other Nabi did Almighty Allah Jalla Wala mention all these virtues. And we can go on and on and on. So that is the master Mustafa alayhi salatu salam. And to love Nabi alayhi salatu salam more than we love our children and our parents, our siblings, that is compulsory upon us. Second one, what was the function of Mustafa alayhi salatu salam? The function of Mustafa alayhi salatu salam, Almighty Allah mentioned in the Quran Kareem, Surah Jumu'ah, Surah 62, verse 2, Yatlu alayhim ayatihi, recite the Quran Sharif to them, teach them how to read the Quran correctly. Wa yuzakkihim, purify them, externally and internally. Externally from the kufr and shirk and disbelief. Internally from the pride, arrogance, jealousy, malice, hatred. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ And teach them the Quran Kareem and the Sunnah. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah taught us, wherever hikmah is mentioned after kitab, wherever hikmah is mentioned after ayatillah, then it refers to Quran Kareem, then it refers to the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the Ummah the Quran Kareem and the Sunnah. Who were the students? The illustrious Sahaba, male, female, adults and children. What was the curriculum? Quran and Sunnah. Where was the Darulum Madrasa? Al-Majidun Nabawi. Our organizers, people who invited us and organizers of this program, Darul Arqa. The first madrasa in the history of Islam, Darul Arqam. If you go today to Safa and Marwa, Safa is here and Marwa is there. Dar of Arqam, Arqam radiallahu anhu's house was there where Safa is. Now they extended everything long time. So anyway, and in that area there was Darul Arqam. In that house there, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu embraced Islam. In that house there, for the first time, the Sahaba in chorus, in unison, they shouted, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. They made takbir there for the first time, in chorus, in unison. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu embraced Islam. So Mustafa alayhi salatu salam is the teacher. The curriculum is Quran and Sunnah. And the students are the beloved Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. Now brothers and honorable sisters, Surah 49, Surah Hujurat, read the first 5-6 verses and see what Almighty Allah speaks. Who will take the examination of the beloved students of Mustafa alayhi salatu salam? We gave you the best of teachers. We gave you one of the best places. We gave you the best curriculum and syllabi. Now who will take the examination? Almighty Allah Jalla Wala says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ Those are the people. إِمْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ Almighty Allah took their imtihan. In their hearts is their taqwa through piety, Allah consciousness or not? What a difficult examination. If I look at myself, most of us look at ourselves, we do introspection, we do soul searching, we do some x-raying of ourselves. We are sanctimonious, we have a double identity. When we are in public with someone else, when we are in private with someone else. When we are in our hometown with someone else, when we are on holiday, we are going to Dubai, we are going to London, we are going to Port Elizabeth, Cape Town, with someone else. Taqwa meant in khalwa, in jalwa, in private, in public, at all times. That fear of Almighty Allah is embedded in the inner recesses of their hearts. What did Almighty Allah announce the results? لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ For them is forgiveness. We do not believe that the Sahaba are ma'soom. No. We believe only the Anbiya alayhi salatu salam, all the prophets and messengers are ma'asum. By divine protection, Almighty Allah protected them. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum are the greatest people of this ummah after the prophets and messengers, but they are mahfuz. They committed sin, but they made tawbah, such tawbah, lahum maghfira, Almighty Allah forgave them. Wa ajrun azim, and Almighty Allah gave them abundant reward, magnificent reward. Now when the results are announced, what is left? You have to confer the certificate. Which certificate Almighty Allah Jalla Wala gave Sahaba radiallahu anhum? Radiallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah unse razi aur wo Allah se razi. Almighty Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Almighty Allah. Wa kullahu wa'ada Allahu al-husna. Almighty Allah said for each one of them is husna, is jannah. So this is what happened in Mustafa alayhi salatu salam's time. The demise of the master Nabi alayhi salatu salam takes place. We're going chronologically now. Nabi alayhi salatu salam passes away. What happens on that day, brothers and sisters? You have to ask Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. For her, it is a beloved father. Mustafa alayhi salatu salam leaves this world and she says, Subbat alayya masaibu law annaha subbat alal ayyami sirna layaliya. Such a calamity and musibat befell me. If that calamity, musibat had to fall on the day should be transformed into night. Now, today some of you brothers, we go for Umrah. So we must go to these places where the Morgan Peak Hotel here is, the Peak Hotel, Anwarul Madina is written there in Arabic. Then next to it you have Ilaf Tayyiba. And if you look opposite Ilaf Tayyiba, you will see a park there. There's no hotel, nothing, is a park there. That is called Saqifa Bani Sa'ida. Go there. Two, three things happen there. Number one, Mustafa alayhi salatu salam made that land waqf so that the Muslimin could use it for their tijarat, buying, selling, no rental, nothing. Second one, it had a roof, Saqifa, Bani Sa'ida, so sometime people wanted to have a meeting, all that, they used to meet there. Mustafa alayhi salatu salam, the demise took place. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhum and them were busy with the ghusl and all those things. Nevertheless, the point came, the Ansar met up in Saqifa Bani Sa'ida. And among themselves, they're having a mashura. Now we have to face reality, we need an Amir, we need a Khalifa, Khalifa to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Who will be our leader? Someone came and told Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, that that is what happening. They realized the seriousness of the situation and they also went to Saqifa Bani Sa'ida. When they went there, they heard what the Ansar had to say. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I want to ask you Ansar, whatever you are saying is the truth. But did not Mustafa alayhi salam said, Ala immatu min Quraysh? So the Imam, the leader, the Khalifa must be from the Quraysh, they all accepted. So they said, now who will be? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an took the hand of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu an, took the hand of Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu an, and said, these are the two, choose any one of them. Sahaba chose Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an. He was a personality, noble personality, that used to lead the Salat during the fatal illness of Mustafa alayhi salatu wasalam. He is the personality, brothers and sisters. How can we go to Masjid Nabawi, offer Salat there, and then when we read Salam on Sayyidina Abu Bakr, we don't even thank him. He took 10 gold coins, his personal money, not going for collection, and he paid for the land that was bought from Sahal and Suhail, the two brothers and orphans of the Allah, and then the masjid was built. Each person who reads Salat there in Masjid Nabawi, who makes Itikaf there, who reads Quran Sharif there. So all the credit goes to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He bought that land with his own personal money. How can we forget? Siddiq Akbar. Thani Yatnain Iduma Fil Ghar. He was the second personality. What was his greatest achievement? After the demise of Mustafa alayhi salatu wasalam, we find the Riddah started taking place. Some people started leaving the fold of Islam. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala stood as a pillar of strength. Some people started making ta'wil and false interpretation. They said, we will pay our zakat, but we will not pay it to the central authority. Because Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala says, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِيَا. Allah Ta'ala addressed Mustafa alayhi salatu salam. So now Nabi alayhi salatu salam had passed on and the demise of the Master alayhi salatu salam took place. So we will not pay the zakat to you. The central authority will give it ourselves. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, من فرق بين الصلاة والزكاة, you start making your own differences, then I will wage war with you. وَاللَّهِ لَوْ مَنَهُونِ إِقَالَ, you don't pay me one rope, you don't give, not for myself, for the Baytul Mal, then we will wage the war. That is why Sayyidina Umar Amirul Mu'mineen radiallahu anhu used to say, Ya Aba Bakri, your one night you spent in Ghar Thawr, and how you stood firm against the Murtaddeen and people who left Islam or on the verge of leaving Islam. Give me that one day and one night, and I, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, am prepared to give you everything of mine. Imagine, this was the rank, the status, when Sahaba, brothers, what can we say? There's so many things. There are ulama present here. Our mother Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, when the Tabi'een used to narrate Sa'id bin Musayyib and them rahimahullah, they used to say our mother Aisha Siddiqa reported this hadith, As-Siddiqatu bintu Siddiq. Mustafa alayhi salam goes up for the heavens, Makkah Mukarrama, Majlul Aqsa, Mi'raj, Isra, Mi'raj, comes back. Who is the first person to believe from the bottom of his heart, Ya Rasulallah, if you said so, I believe you, no reservation. فَسَمَّاهُ صِدِّيقًا. Mustafa alayhi salatu salam calls him Siddiq. So Shaykh Abu al-Hasan al-Nadwi wrote, O Ummat al-Muslimah, O Ulama, we live in a day and age, الرِّدَّةُ وَلَا أَبَا بَكْرٍ لَهَا. We live in a time when so much irtidad is taking place. People are living the fold of Islam, but there is no Abu Bakr to combat it. Think properly, brothers. Let's go on. He rules the Ummah for plus minus 2.25 years. Thereafter, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh was appointed by Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anh. He will be the personality to rule this Ummah after me. Remember, this also is permissible in Islam, that when you have full confidence in that person, if you look at the manaqib, the virtues, the merits, just one, two I can mention this, now there's no time to go into detail, or three we make it. Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab, Amirul Mu'mineen, is that personality. Sab aaye Umar ko bulaya gaya. Understand this, brothers, sisters. Sayyidina Abu Bakr came, Sayyidina Khadija came, Sayyidina Ali came, Sayyidina Bilal came. Umar didn't come, Umar was asked to come. Mustafa alayhi salatu salam goes to the Baytullah, the Kiswa, the Ghilaf, Nabi alayhi salatu salam holds, makes dua, Allahumma izzal Islam bi Umar ibn al-Khattab or bi Amr ibn Hisham. Oh Allah, bring Umar here or bring Amr here. Amr bin Hisham is the proper name of Abu Jahl. Bring Umar on our side, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, or Amr bin Hisham. The dua got accepted for who? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Second one, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is that personality, jo Umar ne farmaya farsh par, Allah ne arsh se beja. What Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said on the land in sand, Ya Rasulullah, we're making tawaf. Mustafa alayhi salam, Sayyidina Umar are making tawaf. Ya Rasulullah, let us read salat behind Maqam Ibrahim. Mustafa alayhi salatu salam, no, we have to wait. Allah Jalla wa Ala says, what Umar said, radiallahu anhu, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُسَلَّىٰ Make Maqam Ibrahim the Musalla. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu told Azwaj Mutahharat, the wives and the consorts of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, you must go into hijab. You are our mothers, we must not be able to see you. They were actually a little bit upset with Sayyidina Umar. Why you want to say all this? Almighty Allah revealed Surah 33 verse 59. Ya ayyuha nabi, qul li azwajik wa banatik wa nisa'il mu'minin yudnina alayhinna min jalabibihin. O Mustafa alayhi salam, tell your wives, tell your consorts, tell your beloved daughters, me and you, the Muslim men, tell our women, they must draw close to themselves the jilbab. Umar radiallahu anhu bulaya gya, he was invited to come. But Sayyidina Umar said, ye on the afarsh, Allah said from the afarsh. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is that personality. If you go into his manaqib and so forth, we can never ever finish it. So I'll just mention one more. What did Nabi alayhi salam speak about his intellect and intelligence? لَوْكَانَ نَبِيٌ بَعْدِي لَكَانَ عُمَرْ Hypothetically, for argument's sake, if there was a Nabi, in Nubuwwat there is no election, there is selection. But if it was based on election, based on intelligence, then Sayyidina Umar should have been the Nabi after me. Who can have all these virtues and merits but? That is Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. He's performing Fajr Salat. You know Fajr Salat is very dark still. This morning it happened to me. That is those times. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala passed away in the year 23 Hijrah. We in 1432 Hijrah. More than 1400 years ago. So what did... I told my brother-in-law, my sister, I slept in Durban, Spingo Beach. And I told them that, you know, I can't wait for 6 o'clock, I'm so tired, if I'm sitting also today. MashaAllah, our Darul Arkam Ulama, they're making Ada and Qaza, you know, so this, after Zohar, after Asr, after Maghrib, every Salat some program, MashaAllah. So, I say, what time Fajr Salat in Talimuddin? They say, half past 5. In main masjid, 6 o'clock. Very good. I say, we go Talimuddin. So I read my sunnahs already at home, so my brother-in-law had to read. So he told me, you see the door there? Just go through the door and another door, then you will find. So I went through that door and that door, then I saw the steps. Now I didn't know you must go through the third door. So I went to the steps, I landed upstairs. I said, where I came out, the people are reading salat downstairs and I'm going upstairs. I realized I took the wrong one and all the same thing. Now it's dark, you know, there's all the lights there and all that. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is performing Fajr Salat. Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi came and he took his dagger and he stabbed Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu comes, he makes istikhlaf, he continues the Salat. Go read Bukhari Sharif, brothers and sisters. Who is Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu? He did not pass away immediately. Babu wafati Umar. And if we don't cry, then something wrong with us. The Ummah came to bid farewell to this general of Islam, this Amir al-Mu'mineen. The men came, the women came with hijab. The children came. And then Umar radiallahu anhu left this world as a martyr. And he made the dua as mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. Allahumma zukni shahadatan fi sabilik waj'al mawti bi baladi rasulik. Oh Allah, grant me martyrdom in your path. And oh Allah, let me pass away in the city of Mustafa alayhi salatu wasalam. Today he's buried. And look at the ihtiyat, the precaution. He told his son Abdullah, after my death, you go back to Ma Aisha Siddiqa and ask her if she's happy. Then only must they bury me there, next to Mustafa alayhi salatu salam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr. I asked her, she agreed, but maybe she said yes because of Amir al-Mu'mineen. You go and ask her, after my demise and death, then I'm no more Amirul Mu'mineen if she has not changed her mind. This is Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. 10 years golden rule. Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu. How did he become Amirul Mu'mineen? A shura was made of 6 people. These were the Ashara Mubashara, those who were left. Some had passed away. Sayyidina Abu Bakr passed away. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu passed away. And Abdullah bin Umar could also be there, part of the shura, but he could not be made Amirul Mu'mineen. Look at the insight and foresight of Sayyidina Umar. My son can be part of the shura, but he cannot be elected as the ruler. We don't want that we have a, you know, monarchy system. We don't want those types that automatically now after father, son and all this. We'll discuss it just now. Thereafter, in 3 days' time, it was chosen Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala an, the Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu an was made the Amir of that shura. And he said, I don't want to be. There were only 2 candidates left. One was Sayyidina Usman radiallahu an, one was Sayyidina Ali radiallahu an. So anyway, majority said, we'll take Sayyidina Usman radiallahu an. Sayyidina Usman radiallahu an is made the Khalif. Who is Sayyidina Usman radiallahu an? From time of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam right to Habibuna wa Shafiuna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, no person in the world has one distinction which Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu has. He married 2 daughters of one Nabi, one after the other. First Sayyida Ruqayya radiallahu anha, and thereafter Sayyida Umme Kulthum radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu, where the Imam stands today, we all, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala take us again and again to the Haramain Sharifain, Makkah Mukarrama, Madinah Munawwara and Masjidul Aqsa. Where the Imam stands today in Masjid Nabawi, that you call Mihrab Usmani. That whole front portion, the first 5-6 serfs, all the extension were done by Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu. He never went for collection, his personal money. The Jews, you know, they used to charge exorbitant amount for the people to get water. Water is a scarce commodity. Sayyidina Usman said, I will buy the well, I make it waqaf to the Muslims. Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu extended the masjid, arranged the water, and we find that in the battle. So what he did? He so many battles, he sponsored everything. Ma darla Uthman, ma amila ba'd al-yawm. No harm to Sayyidina Usman after today. So these are the virtues of Dhun-Nurayn, Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu. Who was responsible for the martyrdom of Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu? The same people we are discussing. Abdullah bin Sabah al-Yahudi, he becomes a Muslim superficially. He brings about agitation. This Sayyidina Usman is doing this. This Sayyidina Usman is doing this. This Sayyidina Ali is a better person. And he is more entitled. So to make fitna and create fitna is very easy. Ulama, make mental notes of this. Today sometime we get caught up with propaganda. Ka'ab bin Malik, listen to the golden sentence he said. Ka'ab bin Malik radiallahu anhu said, Ya Ansar, O you the Ansar, Kunu marratayni Ansar Allah. Sayyidina Usman's house is surrounded. And now the people, the Rawafis, all of them want to come and kill and murder Sayyidina Usman. Ka'ab bin Malik addresses the Ansar, the people of Medina. We helped Mustafa alayhi salatu salam at that time. Now we have to help Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu. Kunu Ansar Allah marratayn. Become the second time Ansar of Almighty Allah. Help the Khalif. Azwaj Mutahharat came. They said, O Sayyidina Usman, you must take the help of the people. Sayyidina Usman refused. Why? He had the army. He could have used him. He's Amirul Mu'mineen. He said, I don't want to be the first person to unsheathe the sword and then the blood will flow. And flow where? In Medina Munawwara. I don't want that. Let me rather become shaheed. Let me give my life rather. But not allowed. The zulat on Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu, the Masjid Nabawi, he extended. The water he arranged. But he was not allowed in the last week or so of his life to go and perform salat in Masjid Nabawi. He was not allowed to use the water which he had bought for the people of Madinah Munawwara. He opens the Quran Kareem. His wife's name, Naila. Say, today Allah forbid what stories people make. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu did his best. He sent Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein, you go and stand outside the house of Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu, Amirul Mu'mineen, and see no harm comes to him. But the Rawafis, the enemies entered, they hit all, beat the Sahabas up who were there, Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein. Naila, the wife of Sayyidina Usman, did this, and they cut her fingers. You must remember all this happened. When they killed and massacred and they assassinated Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anh, the Quran Sharif is open. See the ayat, see the wisdom. The blood spills and flows on that ayat. فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. That for you, Allah is sufficient against them. Allah is all-hearing, all-knowing. Go to Topkapi Museum, Istanbul, Turkey. You will find a copy of Sayyidina Usman's Quran. See, brothers, what contribution Sahaba made. I was asked to speak on this topic, so therefore I'm taking you. We come to Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib. Politically, strategically, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Abu Bakr's time, landway, area-wise, Muslims are increasing, the countries are coming in. Sayyidina Umar's time so much, Sayyidina Usman's time so much. So you must remember all of it. Sayyidina Ali's time. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala whose time, they came to Sayyidina Ali and said, you must become. You know when Sayyidina Usman was martyred, I forgot to mention this. Sayyidina Ali was so furious, he even hit Sayyidina Hassan and Sayyidina Hussein. I sent you there and still those people entered, how could that happen? But they were too many and they were too few. And Sayyidina Usman did not want that there must be so many Sahaba with him. He said, rather let the fitna get finished and then Allah knows best. So the sacrifice made by Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu, many a time we don't know about this. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, they went and they took the bay'ah, they said, you must become the Amir and so forth and so on and everything. Now comes the trouble. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu is made the Khalifa. The governors in different places, now some of them were being changed. Because now is a new place. You see, our street names are changed now. You see what name, we don't know. It's new government. So now all the old names go away. So the new government in Sham. Sham means the Levant. Levant means Syria, Palestine, Jordan and Lebanon. These four countries we call, in Hadith also this whole, Manakibu Sham ibn Taymiyyah Radul Kitab. In Mishkat Sharif in the ending, this Fazail of Sham. So anyway, so from 41 right up to 60, 20 years approximately, Amir Muawiyah was the Khalifa, was the ruler, and there were no two parties. And that was the death knell for the Shias, Abdullah bin Sabah's party and all of them. Go open Minhajul Sunnah of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah and see what. Now brothers, we're coming to the main topic that you wanted to hear about. But I had to give you this introduction. Who is Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anh? Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anh is that Sahabi who is Katibul Wahy. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received Wahy, there were two groups, two panels. The major group were the Hufaz, those who used to by heart the Quran Sharif. The other group were those who used to write down the scribes of the revelation of the Wahy. One of them was Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anh. Second, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu is the only Sahabi and companion and beloved student of Mustafa alayhi salam who ruled for such a long period. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu 2.25 years. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu just over 10 years. Sayyidina Usman 12 years. Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib approximately 5 years. Sayyidina Hassan ibn Ali 6 months. Amir Muawiyah 20 years approximately. can we even speak of such a person, such a giant? The time comes for his death. When Nabi alayhi salatu salam passed away, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the Hajj, Hajjatul Wida in the 10th year, we find Nabi alayhi salatu salam's hair Mubarak was shaven and then distributed among the Sahaba. You know, today they say Bal Mubarak, it started from there. Anyway, Nabi alayhi salatu salam's nails Mubarak were also given. Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu here too, he said, the day I pass away, take Nabi alayhi salatu salam's two Mubarak nails, put ye under my eye, and put ye the other one under the left eye, khalli bayni wa bayna rabbi, and you go away, it's me and my beloved Allah. Understand who's Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Take his Muawiyah. Now, we go to another aspect. What is the other aspect? Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala did not want to appoint anybody as Waliul Ahad. Waliul Ahad means, in our modern terminology, a crown prince, you know. You see, you have a king nowadays, you take any country, good, then they appoint Waliul Ahad. Waliul Ahad means that after me, this one will take over, normally the son or the brother and later, depending which country you want to discuss. Amir Muawiyah did not want to. But some of his confidants and people came and said, no, for the benefit of this ummah, yeah, you should do so and so forth. So eventually, it's true, we accept it, that Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu designated the name of Yazid, his son, Yazid bin Muawiyah. And he said that Yazid will rule. Now, who is Yazid? Now before we come to Yazid, we have to understand this one, two things. Hadith in Musnad Ahmad, Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, لَتَفْتَحُنَّ الْقُسْتُنْتِينِيَا, you will be the people who one day will conquer the land of Constantinople. If you know Istanbul's history, the original name was Islambul, the city of Islam. Then from Islambul, first name Qustuntinia, second name Islambul, third name now Istanbul. So anyway, you will conquer that city. فَنِّئِمَ الْجَيْشُ فَنِّئِمَ الْأَمِيرُ أَمِيرُهَا وَنِّئِمَ الْجَيْشُ جَيْشُهَا. Who was the person who went with that army? Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. I've been 4-5 times to Istanbul, alhamdulillah. So, if you go to Istanbul on the outskirts, you will find Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala's qabr there. He was part of that. The motivating factor for the Sahabas to go in that direction was, you must remember this hadith of Mustafa alayhi salam, نِعْمَ الْأَمِيرُ أَمِيرُهَا وَنِعْمَ الْجَيْشُ جَيْشُهَا. The Amir of that army is considered as one of the best. And the army who goes there, they are considered as one of the best. Now what happens? Sahabas go, Yazid is part of that. Palestine, when it was conquered in time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, Yazid is there in Jerusalem. So you can't study Yazid's life from one perspective only. He participated in historical battles in the time of Sayyidina Umar, in the time of, you know, other Khulafa and so forth. So he was part of that campaign that went to Istanbul and so forth. Just to go on with that, the ultimate, so victory was there, but not complete victory. Complete victory came, inshallah. Any brother you want to go, this time digressing 1-2 minutes. Any one of you brothers you want to go Istanbul, then you must remember 2-3 things there. Go study the old masajid there, and you will marvel at the architecture. Till today, it is not one westerner, not one easterner can say we can do that. Who was the architect? His name was Sinan, the greatest architect in the Ottoman Empire, Sinan rahimahullah. The last time we went, we stayed in a hotel and walking distance. So, you know, so many masajid. So they got the history written there of that masjid. And they say when Sinan wanted to build this masjid and the dome and the mausoleum, you know, all these things there and all that, the gumbat and all, he didn't know how he's going to get it right. So he brought the feet of the elephant, the legs of the elephant, and he used that as a support. And on top of that, he put the dome there. It's written in the history of that masjid. One, two time I went to the masjid, there's no one there. You know, sometimes you go early. So some non-Muslims came. Some men, some women, all mixed up. They say, give history. They speak Spanish and Italian, I don't know what and what. One person knew little bit English. I became the guide. I explained to that one who knows half English, and then angel female. And she's explaining to them all others. I'm telling them, this is what Islam is, this is what Sinan is, this. You will marvel at our greatness, what our people did. What? Second one, go to Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu's grave there. Two. Third one, go to Topkapi Museum, and you will see the greatness there, that what things they achieved. So when you go, you can just send an email, we'll tell you all the places you must go to there. So anyway, the complete victory, I'm just going to show you this part of history, Islam, what it did. Sultan Muhammad Al-Fatih, my beloved youth, read of Tariq bin Ziyad in his early 20s, read of Sultan Muhammad Al-Fatih in his early 20s. They didn't score centuries and score goals. What they did, my beloved brothers and sisters, they conquered places. Tariq bin Ziyad, Gibraltar, Jabal Tariq till today. Sultan Muhammad Al-Fatih, when they entered, he took the boats over the land and sand. Something no one could think of doing. And this was the basis of the Romans. And he said, listen to this. In the morning he said, you see Hagia Sophia, this side is the blue mosque, what they call the blue masjid. That side is Hagia Sophia. He said, Zohar Salat, you're going to read in Hagia Sophia. Lo and behold, they defeated the people. Zohar Salat, they went there. And they remove the cross, they remove all the tasweer and photos, and Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. He reminded them of this hadith. فَنِعْمَ الْأَمِيرُ أَمِيرُهَا وَنِعْمَ الْجَيْشُ جَيْشُهَا. They all went into sajda, and they thanked Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Today go to Hagia Sophia, compromise. They made it a museum. This side is masjid like little bit. We don't need salat, they just left it. And that side there is a church and everything. So the tourists go, they see a half Islam, half Christian, all mix up. So they made it a museum now and this type of thing. Our history said history. So this is a point I wanted to do. That was Yazid. Now Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu passes away. Now it is Yazid's rule. Now what happens? You must remember that in Medina Munawwara, during the time of, you know, Amir Muawiyah, the announcement was being made that Yazid will be the next Khalif. So Sahaba, these are great, great people, they stood up. Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala stood up and said, no, this is not the way of Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala stood up. And Imam Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, these are all eminent, illustrious Sahaba. Nevertheless, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala passes away, and now you must remember people take the bay'ah, especially in Sham, that is the headquarters, Syria, Jordan, Palestine, Lebanon area, and all take the 99% took the bay'ah on the hand of Yazid. So they in Medina Munawwara, the governor is told, you must make sure that you take the bay'ah from Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anh, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair, Abdullah bin Umar, all the Sahaba. Sayyidina Hussein, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair said, no, we will take the bay'ah, but we don't take the bay'ah now, we will take it tomorrow in a masjid. Because now they know what's going to happen. Everything will happen with the sword. That night they took flight and they went away from Medina Munawwara to Makkah. When they came to Makkah, they met, it's almost Hajj time. So you must remember that they met eminent Sahaba. Abdullah bin Abbas, others were there. Said, where you want to go, Sayyidina Hussein? He said, I want to go from here and I'm going towards Kufa and those areas, Iraq, Karbala and all these places. Every Sahabi told him, don't go. You know what they did with your father? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. He got martyred there. You know what they did with your brother? Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu. Don't go. But ma qadar Allah, what Almighty Allah had decreed. Now listen to the dates. Before Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala leaves Makkah, he already sent Muslim bin Aqil. Lo and behold, Muslim bin Aqil gets martyred, you must remember there, on the 8th of Zilhijjah. And remember that Sayyidina Hussein already leaves. So 8-9 he gets martyred, and then Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu leaves. He's thinking that Muslim bin Aqil is there, and he's already arranging for everything. In the meantime, these people who sent thousands of letters to Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu, come and we will make you as our Khalifa and Amir and everything. They turned. Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu is going. He meets en route to Karbala and Kufa and all these areas for Razdaq, the Shahir. He asked him for Razdaq, what's happening there? He said, oh Hussein radiallahu anhu, the hearts of the people are with you. But the soul of the people is with Yazid and the government. You see, brothers, the soul can do a lot of things also. Anyway, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu was not hungry for power. We must understand this, brothers. He did not say, I want to become. Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu states and stand and stance on this issue was one. My Nana, my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, passed away, we brought a Khilafat system. We didn't bring a Mulukiya system, that after the father, then the son must rule, and then the son must rule. So that was the whole fight of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu. Remember that. It was not he was hungry for power or something. Nevertheless, to cut a long story short, so when he went towards the Karbala and these places there, there was shortage of water. All this happened in the year 60, Zilhijjah. Hajj took place, Sayyidina Hussein already left. On the 8th, 9th, before the day of Arafat, before the time started, they already left. All the Sahaba said, don't go. When they reached there, then a lot of things happened. The area, I've been there in 2000, the country is Iraq, and the place is called Karbala, and the Maidan is called Maidan-e-Tafuf. Now, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu told the people, they give me 2-3 options. Option number one, let me meet Yazid. Option number two, let me go back to Medina Munawwara. Option number three, that let take me to any border Islamic country nearby, I'll go there. Let me meet Yazid. For what? You see, the ulama have written, eventually, even Sayyidina Hussein was prepared to take the bay'ah on Yazid, because he knew too much bloodshed. But you know, when you have all the small people who got in the ultimate, you know, and motives, and they have a hidden agenda, say, no, you can't meet. They were the main cause. Yazid was not. We're not saying Yazid is an excellent person. Don't make that mistake. We're not saying that. But the main people who committed the crime were not Yazid. It was the people under him, due to their own hidden agenda. And what they did, then 72 people, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu, all got martyred in the battle of Karbala, 10th day of Muharram, the day of Ashura, Friday, the year 61. And as they say, the rest remains history. The lesson we must learn from here is this, that when we have internal conflict, then the Shias will always exploit it. Today see how they exploit it. 10th Muharram come. I ask you, my brothers of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, think about what they have done. You hear every year Muharram come, I receive questions. Can my son get married in the first 10 days of Muharram? Why we ask this question? Because the Shias have put They said that first 10 days of Muharram is matam time, is mourning time. You must be so sad. When we were studying Pakistan in the 70s, whole year they showing film. You know the Pakistani film, whatever they show, Hollywood, Bollywood, whatever. First 10 days of Muharram come, they take black cloth and they put around the salama and bioscope. No bioscope, no salama, even the bioscope is crying. Understand? This is one. Second one, what we say in Muharram, why is the date? I want to show you Aqidah issues. To get married in Muharram, totally permissible. On Ashura day, before Ashura day, no problem. Second one. That our people, you ask, you try it now. Go to a mother, go to a sister, go to a brother, put 180, will give you this answer. Why is Ashura so important? 10th Muharram. They will say because of the martyrdom and shahadat of Sayyidina Hussain radiallahu anhu. If somebody passes away on a Friday, what you say? Allah Ta'ala elevated that person's rank by giving him death on a Friday. You don't say Friday became important because that person passed away. Now our people, Sayyidina Hussain, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, demise took place 11th year of the Hijrah. 61st year of the Hijrah, 50 years after that, the Shahadat and martyrdom took place of Sayyidina Hussain radiallahu anhu. The day of Ashura became important from the time of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. You see the kiswa, the ghilaf, the black cloth. So you must, when we went for Umrah, now we went there also. The one brother gave us cloth also, not cloth, he gave us a cotton also. So we had 50 people, so we just made pieces and give everybody. So they call kiswa. So anyway, the ghilaf, so the Quraysh, before Mustafa alayhi salam's Mubarak birth, on the 10th of Muharram, they have to change the kiswa. Now they change it on 9th Zilhijjah, when we all gone for Hajj for Arafat. So that morning they change it there. What we learn from time of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, the Quraysh used to fast. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and reinforced it. So day of Ashura was already important from those days. Third one, you go Pakistan, you go Iraq, you go here, you go Lucknow, India. You will see they got water everywhere, Sabil, 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 Sabil. Sayyidina Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away and they were thirsty, so now we must give everybody water. I'm asking you questions, brothers. Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, mourning period in Islam is 3 days. But now hundreds of years, thousand years pass and so forth, but they still mourning. Why? Because this is a curse actually on them. They were the people who killed Sayyidina Hussein. So now they take the sword, they take the metal pieces. We saw it how many times, they used to walk right past the madrasa. And they used to hit themselves, Ya Hussein, Ya Ali, Ya Madad, Ya, all that they used to make. So this is not Islam. We must remember this type of things there. So it's got nothing to do with Islam, all these type of things which they are doing. One, two other points I want to make, my brothers, is I'm not saying Yazid was the best of people. In time of Yazid, he ruled from 60 after the death of his father, and in 61, Sayyidina Hussain radiallahu anhu was martyred. In the year 62, you must remember a battle took place in Makkah Mukarrama, so a portion of the Baytullah also got burnt and so forth and damaged. In 63, civil war broke out in Medina Munawwara, and when you go to Baqi, you will see one mass grave. They are known as Shuhada'i Harra, so that took place also in the time of Yazid. So, but we need to be fair. You can't say Yazid was directly responsible for the death, for the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussain radiallahu anhu. Now brothers, this is paramount importance. 1 hour, more than 1 hour I'm speaking now. If you got any questions after this. If we ask our children, ask our women, who is the greatest martyr in the history of Islam? Who is the greatest martyr? 80%, 90% of the people, especially the women, and they will say, Sayyidina Hussain radiallahu anhu. Did not Mustafa alayhi salam say, Sayyidu Shuhada Hamza radiallahu anhu. Hadith in Mustadrak Hakim. The greatest martyr, if you ask the Muslim, Sunnah, me and you, Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Who is the greatest martyr? Majority will not know. If you ask which date this incident took place, 90% will not know. It took place in the Battle of Uhud, in the month of Shawwal, in the third year of the Hijrah. So remember, that is the greatest martyr. We are not taking anything away from Sayyidina Hussain radiallahu anhu, but you cannot claim and say that Sayyidina Hussain became the greatest. You see the propaganda of the Shias? So they make it that only Hussain radiallahu anhu was a martyr. You can't speak nothing of Sayyidina Usman. You can't speak nothing of Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu anhu. Islam zinda hota hai har Karbala ke baad. So only Karbala we must remember. So brothers, these are issues regarding Aqeedah and belief. So we need to understand that how they make Sayyidina Hussain radiallahu anhu. I went to Iraq. They take you into Karbala. They got a room. They are masters of propaganda. Now in a group, you know, in a bus. When you went to Iraq, you can't go here and there and everywhere. In front, they have your Dalil, they have a guide. I spent 6 days there, alhamdulillah. And at the back, they have security. Because it's like wartime, you know. So that in 2000, they still got problems. So anyway, at that time also. So the bus has security, and it has a Dalil, a guide. So they tell you, go here, go here, go here. In the morning, they tell you where you're going at. They take you in that room. Now this is how they play the mind game. You enter that room, you will see like blood is dripping down. Now the guide will speak in Arabic, or will speak in English, or they'll give you some... The literature, everything perfect. Very good. Then that person, now you work on the emotions of the people. When they all leave there, I myself, you also will happen. When you walk out from there, the tears will be rolling down. We are not saying it didn't happen. 100% Sayyidina Hussain radiallahu ta'ala was martyred. But what the Shias are capitalizing on the whole thing, that only Sayyidina Hussain radiallahu anhu is a martyr that must be remembered. We don't have to worry of Sayyidina Usman. We don't have to worry of Sayyidina Hamza. We don't have to worry about the other martyrs. We must only concentrate on Sayyidina Hussain radiallahu anhu. That is our problem today. That is wrong belief. We can't accept it. So we must remember this slight issue. And last one, I started with this. You must remember of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Brothers, each one of us remember, for us to love the Sahaba is an integral part of our Iman. If we start having negative thoughts, negative criticizing and so forth, like the Shias, majority of them, so you must remember, Iman ka khatra hai. They fear we will lose Iman completely, Allah forbid. So therefore, we have so many ulama here, mashallah, so we should always ask them, consult with them, and today the literature of the Shias or the people who are coming as germs now into our country, our town, so we need to take, you know, when germs come, virus come, we take some injection, we take some precaution. So that is why we have this type of programs. We must thank our ulama of Darul Arqam, all of them, and so many, so we can't take, so we don't take anybody's name, it's just Allah to reward them, inshallah. And inshallah, if any brother or sister got questions, you can ask any questions now, inshallah. Whatever is on your mind regarding the topic or whatever, inshallah. Jazakallah khairan. Okay, brothers, this question, I read it as I received it, right? So we won't. Bismillahir Rahman Rahim. People who hold objectors against the Umayyads say that Hazrat Abu Sufyan was the enemy of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'll take it step by step. If you say Hazrat Abu Sufyan was the enemy of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that's right when he was a non-Muslim. He was the one who fought Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the Battle of Uhud. He was the one who prevented Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to come in Hudaybiyah. They prevented Nabi alayhi salam. If you say he was the enemy of Nabi alayhi salam after he embraced Islam, then what a lie. لَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَوَاتِنَ كَثِيرًا وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ. Allah Ta'ala indeed helped you so much and more so on the day of Hunayn. Nabi alayhi salatu salam was on the Mubarak mode of transport. And Sahabas this time were 12,000. Enemies that time, the Hawazin and them, were 4,000. Therefore Allah Ta'ala says, إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا. That you were so much in number and you became like self-confident, overconfident, and it did not help you. Many Sahaba, ثُمَّ وَلَّيْتُمْ مُدْبِرِينَ, you ran away. Who stood with Mustafa alayhi salatu salam, held the reins of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, Mubarak mode of transport? Who? Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan stood with Nabi alayhi salatu salam as a pillar of strength in the battle of Hunain. If anybody rejects this, remember he's rejecting Sahih Ahadith on this. The problem is, as I explained the other night, we can show them the Ahadith, everything. They will tell you this hadith is by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, this hadith is by Anas bin Malik, this hadith is by Jabir bin Abdullah. We don't accept them, they murtad, Allah forbid. Whatever we show them, they will reject it. They say the hadith must be reported, narrated by who? One of the 12 Imams, Imam Ali, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Imam Zainul Abidin, Imam Baqir, Imam Jafar, Imam Musa Kazim, Imam Ali, all of them they say, Imam Ali means other. So all, Imam Mahdi, Imam Hassan bin Askari and so forth. So that is where the whole problem lies. So remember, it's Sahabi, Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu. Okay. Isn't Abu Sufyan the father-in-law of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? Umm Habiba. Who's Umm Habiba? The daughter of Nabi sallallahu, or the daughter of Abu Sufyan radiallahu. Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was against Hazrat Ali, and Yazid against Hazrat Hussein. Second part. Hazrat Muawiyah was against Hazrat Ali. When all this trouble was taking place, this side, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu coming with his army from Medina Munawwara, that side there, the army coming of Sayyidina of Amir Muawiyah, the Romans, the Persians, the enemies, they got, Persians, Romans, they got some wind of all this. They sent a letter to Amir Muawiyah, and they said, why don't you join us? And we will then eliminate him. Join us, and then we eliminate Ali radiallahu anhu. The jawab of Amir Muawiyah. What he says, if you enter here, I will be the first person to join Ali, and we will slaughter you. Understand, brother? What is Islam? This ikhtilaf was not for power. It's not today's politicians. Today's politicians do the same thing. These are ikhtarahumullahu li suhbati nabiyihi. Allah Ta'ala selected them to be the companions of Mustafa alayhi salatu wasalam. Then Yazid against Hazrat Hussein. I gave you the whole thing now. So you must remember that Yazid was appointed. He became the Khalif, everything. Many people took the oath. But certain Sahaba, great Sahaba, for valid reasons, they felt he was not fit to be the Khalif. So therefore, but it was not a struggle for power. Nothing to do with that. It was a struggle. Our political system must not change from a Khilafat to a monarchy system. That was the whole thing. So we must remember that. Okay. And the same goes for the rest of the Shia Imam. Also. And the rest goes for the Shia. Okay, it means the rest goes that the Sahaba were anti them. If they were anti them, then why would Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu give his daughter to Sayyidina Umar? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu's daughter, Umm Kulsum, is married to who? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Why would Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein, the Shias will never tell you this. And they exclude them from the Ahlul Bayt. Who is the Ahlul Bayt? 14 Sitare. The 14 stars. The 12 Imams, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam first, the 12 Imams, and Sayyida Fatima. Only these are the Ahlul Bayt. Who are the children of Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein? And what are their names? One's name, Abu Bakr. One's name, Umar. If you hate someone, you will name your children after them. Think properly. So remember that this is, so I tell you, They have a very powerful and effective propaganda machine. So that is absolute lies. Imam Jafar Sadiq said, Waladani Abu Bakrin Marratin. I am connected to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, not from one side, I am connected to Sayyidina Abu Bakr from two sides. Yaftakhiru bi Abi Bakrin. He was so proud, proud not in the meaning of arrogance, in the meaning that I am connected to Sayyidina Abu Bakr not from one side, but I am connected to him from two sides. So how can all this type of thing? Okay, how do you answer these people? Okay, we answer them. How do you answer someone who holds the view that Hazrat Abu Sufyan didn't accept Islam and had his own will but was forced to save his life at the time of Fatih Makkah? You must remember this is a big allegation they make. If that was the case, then why Abu Sufyan stayed a Muslim even after the demise of Nabi alayhi salam? Why Abu Sufyan risked his own life in the battle of Hunain? And he stood there. Allah says, "Thumma wallaytum mudbirin." You see, if you go from, brothers, when we go, Makkah, Medina, Allah take us again and again. It's not, we just go, was it Dawood Mota, you know? You're not Dawood Mota. Dawood Mota has been Dawood, so we kept his name Dawood Mota, you know? So South Africans, you will see them normally more in Dawood Mota than they were Baytullah, you know, understand? I don't say all now, but many. You know, I told you the story the other day. That every time I give lecture there, because different hajis of people who come over. I say we make umrah, we make hajj, Ya Allah, accept our umrah, our hajj, ameen, ameen, loudly. Ya Allah, accept our umrah, ameen, ameen. Ya Allah, let us die in Madina Munawwara, the ameen come out softly. That must remember this time. So this is our halat. Anyway, the point I'm making is that when you're going out of Makkah, and you're going towards Taif, you just take any taxi, he'll take you there. So you must remember, you will pass the Maidan, the field of Hunain. It's just 10-15 kilometers out of Makkah, plus minus. So there the battle took place, Hunain. Allah Ta'ala says, ثُمَّ وَلَّيْتُمْ مُدْبِرِينَ. Why the Sahaba took flight? You must remember this Hawazin, they were master marksmen. You know Imam Shafi'i, when he drank Zamzam, he made three duas. One dua, Ya Allah, give me profound knowledge. He became one of the greatest of his time. He only lived for 54 years, 150 to 204. Second, Ya Allah, make me a Rami. When I shoot the arrow, I must hit the target. He says himself, Imam Shafi'i. You see, after that dua, then I became such a master marksman, 9 times out of 10 I used to hit the target. And third one, Ya Allah, give me Jannah. Two duas he saw in this world, so third one also inshallah. So this Hawazin, they were such master marksmen, the Sahaba saw them shooting. And what happened? They were hitting the targets, injuring. So Sahaba took flight. But Abu Sufyan, they want to say, you see, it's a chain. We, I'm speaking on behalf of Shias, we hate Yazid. Yazid is a kafir. Yazid, you must curse him. This is all Shia propaganda. We hate Muawiyah. Muawiyah is this. We hate the father of Muawiyah, Abu Sufyan. You see what it means? So they want to show that me and you must start hating the Sahaba. Abu Sufyan is Sahabi. Amir Muawiyah is Sahabi who ruled the Ummah for approximately 20 years. Yazid is not Sahabi. Yazid is Tabi'i. He has virtues. But there are certain issues there also that we need to admit also. But we must be fair about it. The last point is this, you must remember that if we want all the details, then the easiest way, respected ulama, other brothers, we are the only people, if there's any other questions, bring it. But if you want, I'll give you reference. Al-Fadlu ma shahidat bil a'dahu. Virtue is that even... The virtue is there that even the enemy, they bear testimony to it. There's a book, I want you must remember this ulama, especially the author Montgomery Watt. Montgomery Watt is no ordinary person. He is a priest and a scholar. He wrote books on Islam. This book which I'm quoting is called The Formative Period. The Formative Period title, author, Montgomery Watt, what I'm telling you now is written there. He says, look at this Orient. He wrote a book, other book he wrote, Muhammad in Makkah, Muhammad in Medina. He wrote so many things on Islam, but he didn't embrace Islam. He's a priest. Now listen to what he writes. He says, I went to the Ahadith books, the books, you know, they call literature on Hadith. He says, at random, I took from this Hadith kitab, I took from this Hadith kitab, I took from this Hadith, he mentioned. And I took Kitabul Qadr, the chapter on predestination, Taqdeer, what we call. This Muhaddith did not meet that Muhaddith, this Muhaddith did not meet that Muhaddith. And I found a remarkable amount of consistency in this. And therefore, we the Orientalists, meaning non-Muslims who study Islam, we have to give credence and give credit to the chain of transmissions the Muslims have. Oh Muslims, the words I'm paraphrasing now, that oh Muslims, you are the only people on the face of this earth who have Asma'ul Rijal wa Nisa, you have the profile, the biographies of the men and women. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu embraced Islam 70 of the Hijrah after Khaybar. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu passed away in the year 59. Said Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported 5,374 ahadith. Who are the teachers of Abu Hurairah? Who are the students of everything? This is one example. He goes on and writes, Montgomery Watt, you are the only people on this earth who have a collection of 500,000 reporters and narrators. The whole Asma'ul Rijal is 500,000 reporters. So when anybody tells you Abu Sufyan did this, he tells you Muawiyah radiallahu anhu did this, this one did this, then we bring the usul of Abdullah ibn Mubarak, لَوْلَ الْإِسْنَادِ لَقَالَ مَنْ شَاءَ مَا شَاءَ. If there was no chain, then anybody could say whatever he wants to. Now just go outside. Where's our Mawlana Musa? Mawlana, you must remember this, very good for you. I must thank our Imam Mawlana also, Allah Ta'ala gave him jazai khair. He made all the effort, Almighty Allah, accept all his qurbani and services also. You just go to Mr. Moonsami or Ramsami or anybody, Christian. Ask them, I want to ask you, show me your Bible. So you say, gladly say. Who? You got there, Luke, Matthew, John, Thursday. They say that these are the disciples. Ask them, the pastor or the bishop, any one of them, they met Jesus. Is any one of them a direct reporter from Nabi Isa alayhi salam? Not one of them is. If you come to my house, I show you a Bible, they call it King James Version, and they call it the red ink Bible or red color Bible. They got what Isa alayhi salam is purported to have said. You know, they say, he said, that's in red color. And what the others said, John said this, Matthew said this, and Luke said this, and this one said this, Paul said this, all that is in black color. Now you say, okay, they said that. Now you say Jesus, Nabi Isa alayhi salam said this in red. Now who is the chain? It can't be any of these 4 years because none of them met Isa alayhi salam. Is it? So that is why we as Muslims are the only people who have a chain of transmission, and Quran Kareem in its pristine purity, they don't have any book. You know the additions, omissions took place. So therefore when you discuss these type of things academically, it's your books telling us. Montgomery Watt is Orientalist. He's a priest. He's no all ordinary person. He wrote books on Islam. I gave you the title and you go see what he wrote about chain of transmission. So this. So how we can reject all these type of things? Then? May do Allah accept it.
Yeah, I'm Musalli in this masjid. My name is Farooq Abdul, and I'd like you to know, or Mefil to know, not 18 kilometers down south, you will go down in a black area and see a masjid half the size, similar in appearance. It's put there with not one Muslim Musalli, whether he's Shia or not, not one in the area of Makongo. But if you walk down, you'll find there are three other rooms. Some is African customary worship. But the head of it is the masjid. Now, to confirm what you were earlier telling us about deviousness of them, how they create confusion, I'd like our entire work people to know here, as we sit here, I reported the matter to Jamiat, took Jamiat down, but up to now, nothing is being happening in a coordinated fashion as to how we can stem this intended deviousness that's going to spill over right here. Because if you look at the building, it's typically like how this masjid is. So Muftisa, I can tell you, Allah SWT sent you here to conscientize, and I hope that this opportunity will conscientize our leaders to freedom out of
it. I mean,
that
sure.
It's coming.
Sure.
Not as we pointed out, it's already here. JazakAllah khair.
Highly appreciated, Haji sir. That is why we have this, and therefore I always tell the ulama, I open the floor. If we shouldn't open the floor, Haji sahab, we should just make dua and go away. We want, all of us must have that dard, we must have that fikr. We all are part of the Muslim ummah. And the greatest thing we have is our belief, our iman, our aqidah. Tomorrow, me and you are pakka, sacha, Musliman, everything. But our small flowers and children, what will happen to them? So, respected ulama, you can interact at everything and see. I just want to tell you two, three things. And any of the local brothers, please, don't misconstrue this. Let me just mention two, three incidents quickly. How Islam elevated people. Who is Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu? Sayyidina Bilal bin Rabah al-Habashi. Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu was given the distinction, the first muazzin of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Masjid Nabawi. Right? That's number one. Number two, you must remember, if you go to Dimashq, you will find written on the wall, muazzinu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa waziru ma'alihi. He was not only the muazzin, he was a minister of finance of Mustafa alayhi salatu wasalam. That is Sayyidina Bilal. Mustafa alayhi salatu wasalam went for Mi'raj. Oh Bilal, I heard your footsteps. How come? Every time when he used to perform the wudu, then he used to read the salat and so forth. Carry on. Anjasha. Anjasha, the African Sahabi with a beautiful voice. Oh Anjasha, rifqan bil qawarir. Take it easy, take it easy. You're going to pull the women here at the back, they mustn't fall in love with your voice. Such a wonderful, melodious voice you got. Golden voice. Third one, Najashi. He in Ethiopia, in Habasha. He embraced Islam. Allah Ta'ala speaks of it in the beginning of the seventh Jews. وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا عُنْزَلَ الرَّسُولِ تَرَىٰ أَعْيُنَا تَفِيدُ مِنَ الدَّمْ. Remember, Mustafa alayhi salatu salam appreciated it so much that he gave refuge to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum who migrated from Makkah to Ethiopia. When he passed away, Nabi alayhi salam raised salatu janaza from Madinah Munawwar. You go on, O ulama, today we do Kanzud Daqaiq and the Hanafi kitabs, then you will find Allama Zaylani. Any brother from Somalia? No one? Allama Zaylani, African from Somalia. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, one of his greatest teachers, Atta bin Abi Rabah. Atta bin Abi Rabah, the African. He used to sit in Makkah Mukarramah. His features were not very good. But no one would move. Kana a'lama an-nas bi manasik al-hajj wal-umrah. No one could beat Atta bin Abi Rabah, the ustad of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, the African person. You must remember this. One day, the rulers came, and the people didn't go shake so much hand with the ruler. They all flocking to Atta bin Abi Rabah. So when the ruler came, So he went to find out who's this person. Thousands of people. He said, it's Attar bin Abi Rabah. He looked at him. He saw he's not a very handsome person. So he said, you see, there's knowledge. This knowledge will make us sit in the Sarirul Malik. This knowledge will make us sit on the thrones of the kings. That is what happened to Attar bin Abi Rabah, African person. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, he was born in Gaza in Palestine in the year 150. When he was 2 years old, his mother brought him to Makkah Mukarramah. He grew up there. Who was one of his first teachers? Muslim bin Ibrahim al-Zanji. The African person became his teacher. You must carry on. Sheikh Umar Falata rahimahullah, our ustad, whenever we met him, today I met my ustad Hafiz Dimalia. I kissed him on his forehead. When I used to meet Sheikh Umar Falata, he was African. 49 years, brothers and sisters in Islam, ulama, he taught hadith in Masjid al-Nabawi. No person got the distinction. Hazrat Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani, rahimahullah, taught. I asked Hazrat Mawlana Asad Sahib, rahimahullah, he says, 16 saal humare walid majid sahib, rahmatullah alayna, hadith sharif paraya. 16 years he taught hadith, Hazrat Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani, Masjid Nabawi. Sheikh Umar Falata taught hadith right next to Mustafa alayhi salam, African person. When we used to kiss him, when we used to meet him, we used to kiss him on his forehead. Yeah, I know he took me home and everything. He used to give me kitabs. So, but Allah, they don't have all this. Why I gave you this muqaddama? I gave you this introduction. The Shias, Haji Sahib, they are not foolish people. They strategize. What they going to do? What the Christian missionaries do? Remember the same tactic they use. They look for those who are vulnerable. They will go to the Muslim area and see who cannot pay the water and lights. Who cannot pay the rental. They will go to our African brothers and sisters. These Indians are teaching you India, Pakistan, Islam. They will go to the poor Arab. They are teaching you Egyptian Islam. We teach you Ahlul Bayt Islam. The Islam of Sayyidah Fatima radiallahu anha. The Islam of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anha. They will give them Muraja'at. They will give them the right path. They will give them only. This is their modus operandi, how they operate. So each one of us brothers, we have a duty. And inshallah, Darul Arqam, inshallah, we can, our Amir Sahib, all the ulama, just make Bakshura whenever it's convenient, and inshallah, it is our duty. We cannot run away from it. Remember this. You know, I'm in media. If you come there to me on my desk, even now, it's lying there at home. That person wrote me a letter, a very harsh letter. He said, long time ago, I told you, why don't you reply to this Christian? He is denigrating Nabi alayhi salatu salam. He is doing this, he is doing this, and none of you ulama are prepared to take him on and listen to him. So you must remember, the awam, the public, the masses, they wait for us. We have to give the direction. We have to take up the challenges, the cudgels. All this we have to take up. So brothers, that is why we have this type of talks. And when you interact, don't just become emotional and just be kafir and this, I'll shoot them and kill them. It's not going to help us. The easiest way to win this debate, to win this discussion, is via academic way and education. And in that way, inshallah, we preserve our own iman and we preserve the iman of our children and grandchildren and all the generations to come, inshallah. Jazakallah khairan, Haji Sahib, highly appreciate it. You done, Maulana? Any this question? Okay.
Just to confirm on that point, sorry, tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock I'm meeting with the chief. Because my son is the first Musalli from the north, yet that masjid is closed. So the question to the chief is, I want to pray, I come to visit my son, the chief is closed. But this is another issue, not confrontational. We want to set up a project there so our brothers from here can go and perform salah there.
100%.
If my brother here from the Murphy, please don't hesitate. Give me your support. I've already started the process because that is the danger that's going to invade us soon, all of us.
100%. Allah Ta'ala protect us and all our masajid, Allah make abad, brothers. If we make Allah's masajid abad, Allah protects us. This is written everywhere in the world. If you want to know of Iraq, one story to be finishing. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, I went, they go there, brothers. You cry when you go. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala came to Kufa. He stood. He took his bow and arrow and shot. The arrow landed there. He took his bow and arrow, shot there, shot on the left, and then turned around, shot this side. He said, this is Jamiul Kufa. O people, now build your houses around. Study any country. Study Egypt, study Iraq, study Iran, study Pakistan, study India, study... Wherever Sahaba Tabi'in came, they first built a masjid and then they built houses around it. Today we have masajid, but the masjid many a time is not abad. Sometime our people, you know, we travel, they say so many Pakistanis and Bengalis and Indians and all that in our town and Somalias and from here and Nigeria and I say, brother, make shukr. 90% of the places I travel, I see they keeping our masajid abad for that time and other time. If it wasn't for them, our masajid should be empty many places. So isn't that a big thing in itself? But sometimes you see, our history is apartheid. So we brought that apartheid also in us now. That hum to Junubi Africa. We got US dollars, they got Zimbabwe dollars. So that is the biggest struggle in this world. Allah protect us and say, Jazakallah khairan. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wa mursaleen Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka antal wahhab. Ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghith. Ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghith. Allahumma aslih lana sha'nana kullah wa la takil إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين. اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين وارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين. قال الله تعالى في شأن حبيبي إن الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وارنا مناسكنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء. ربنا اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.